Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, welcome back to another episode of the Madhouse Podcast. As always, I am your host, Mad Max. Today's episode, we're going to be talking about Kung Fu Panda Part 2. This movie came out in 2010, I believe. 2011. Yeah, it's 2011, and it was directed by Jennifer Yu Nelson. This was her first feature film. Now, this was a film... Now, she kind of becomes the primary director for this film because of the fact that the first film was not directed by her and things like that. And I think she goes on to direct the next three films. As my understanding, I think she directed 2, 3, and 4. So she kind of does bring a little bit of a new feel to it and everything like that. And... The movie has the same principal characters: Jack Black, Angelina Jolie, Dustin Hoffman, and everybody from the first film all return and everything like that. And we're introduced to a slew of new characters. We have Gary Oldman, who plays a power-hungry peacock. We have Michelle Yeoh, who plays the wise goat. And then we have... Dennis Haysbert, who plays Master Ox, Jean-Claude Van Damme, who plays Master Croc, Victor Garber plays Master Rhino, and then we have Danny McBride, who plays the werewolf, and things like that. So, in this film is primarily almost like a revenge film in a lot of ways. You have this peacock, played by Gary Oldman, who is seeking to take over what is rightfully his, which is this power-hungry weapon from everybody involved with this film, from the previous stuff that's been going on and everything like that. I think this film kind of was a little bit of a stretch in a lot of ways. It didn't really have, I don't want to say a positive message, but it didn't really have the same earmarks or the same messages as the previous film. It delved more into adult theme, which there's nothing wrong with that, to say the least, and everything like that. But in a lot of ways, this was still a great movie. It still kind of kept those same messages and positive vibes from the first film, which in a lot of ways is something that not too many children's films are able to do and things like that. But I do think this one was a little bit more action-heavy, which is great, because we didn't really need a by-the-book, kids film. You know, we had gotten that already, and we had seen that before. And, you know, this was going to be something different, and I honestly believe they went in the right direction with this film. I don't think this film was better than Part 2 in any means, but... it really kind of delved into a little bit more so because of what was going on in the first film, or because of what was going on in the character's perspective, so to speak. Like, we didn't really delve into the backstory of Po and where he comes from. They touch on it a little bit, not as much, because I don't think that was the main goal here and everything like that. However, there is a little bit of a connection between the main villain and the hero, which is kind of sort of almost, that's where that revenge kind of thing comes into play and things like that. So the idea that, you know, this fucking peacock is responsible for the downfall of this, this panda and everything like that, it really, really kind of goes to show you that these guys are just, they're out to do bad things, and they don't care who or what they have to do to get there and everything like that. I feel as if it got a little bit more, it got darker in a kids movie sense, if that makes sense. Like, it was a lot darker than the first film. It was a lot darker than anything that we had seen before, because of the simple fact of, you know, this wasn't something that a lot of people thought it was going to go another way. I'm not too sure what people were going to think, you know, this film going forward. You know, a lot of times when you go into a film like this, with given the subject matter and things like that, whether it's a kids movie or not, any type of sequel that has this type of that has this type of storyline, you know, you are going to go a little bit darker, to say the least, and everything like that, because of the simple fact that, you know, it is a kids movie and everything like that. You're kind of garnered by that. But I think what DreamWorks did so well with this was it went darker still in the realm of a kids film. It did go into the fact that this peacock is this, you know, bad person and everything like that. Not because, you know, not because it was his destiny or anything like that, or it was, you know, just a bad guy trying to avenge a wrong that he feels is done to him. You know, it didn't, it's not so much the same type of continuity that we got with Tai Long in the first film, where, you know, you kind of have empathy towards the villain in a way, like, you know, you're taken back by his by his story and everything like that, because of the fact that, you know, he's kind of raised wrong in a way. Like, he's given all these sense he's given a false sense of hope and a false sense of he's given this all these false pretense about everything he's supposed to do and stuff like that. So there's no real way for him to cope with it. And then, you know, by the time our heroes realize that they've made that mistake, it's kind of already too late. You know, he's already kind of made his bed, and, you know, they found out where that line is in the sand, and there's no way, you know, it's too late for anybody to cross it at this point. The peacock in this film is a little bit different because of the fact that, you know, this is just a straight up revenge. There's no real, there's no real merit to the character. There's no real empathy towards this character. This is just a bad guy who's out to do bad things. And, you know, that was something that was, they kind of played it safe in a way. Now, this villain, on the other hand, the Peacock, played by Gary Oldman, is in a lot of ways a much dangerous villain because of what he's willing to do and the weaponry he has to do it. You know, he has the means to kind of do things and everything like that, and he has the means to kind of get things done on his terms and on his watch. Everything will fall and everything like that. We have a much, like I said, it's a much darker tone and a much darker it's a much darker sense of dread that you have, because you have a this crazy person really willing to wipe out anything and everything in his way, no matter the cost or anything like that. You don't feel empathy for the peacock really at all. And even when, you know, there is that sense of morality at the end, when you're having these deep conversations with Poe and the peacock, it's like, man, you're not going to be able to talk some sense into him really at all. And then when he finally does come to his senses, he kind of accepts his fate, you know, and dies and things like that. So this movie, although it is, you know, a much different movie, it's the same type of fun and humor that we got in the first film. It does kind of go into another direction. It goes into a little bit more of a darker direction as far as a kids movie is concerned. And that was something that I was not expecting. Because, yeah, there are some moments there are some moments in the first film where I did mention that, you know, as a kid, you don't understand what Tai Long means about, you know, going through all this stuff, that, you know, he's just he's misunderstood. You don't realize how misunderstood he is until you, like, older. You realize that, you know, this was something that he was never gonna really, not necessarily overcome, but this was gonna be something for him to struggle with for the rest of his life. The peacock in this film, you don't feel empathy with him whatsoever. It's like, what the fuck? You know, it's like, damn, this guy is just out to do bad things no matter what. And there's no sense in trying to reason with him because he does not care at this point. He's already made his bed. He has a clear vision of what he's going to do, and he's very cold and very calculated when it comes to executing that plan. And that's something we rarely see in a kids movie like this, really, at all. There is, like I said, there are darker themes to movies like this, and there are darker themes to what this character kind of goes through in that sense. But you know, a lot of people feel that is, you know, it's a kids movie. There's no real way we're going to be able to do this and pull this off. That is more entertaining. It's got to be entertaining for the kids so they don't get confused or get distracted by it. But it's also got to have a little bit of that of adult theme in there so the adults can be like, hey, you know, that was different, and things like that. So I think the second film really did do an amazing job, and I think the Academy picked up on that because this movie once again was nominated for both a Golden Globe and Academy Award for Best Animated Feature. And you know, that's saying something. You don't really get a whole lot of those, for especially from DreamWorks. You know, the animated feature films had always been dominated by high budget films that were not Disney. DreamWorks kind of came along, you know, it was different. Kung Fu Panda, Kung Fu Panda really, you know, was out there, like testing the waters, and they saw the success, and they were going to keep going. And things like that. But then, you know, other movies had come out at that time as well, like Kung Fu Panda 2 was coming out, and by the time we had gotten to that point in society and everything like that, it was really something different because movies by then, you know, movies like Toy Story 3 had come out, The Incredibles had come out, the first How to Train Your Dragon was already out. And everything like that. It was different. It was different to say the least. And you know, gone were the days of just traditional this in this traditional sense that you know, that Disney was going to be the one running the show. And you know, DreamWorks proved that, you know, they could give Disney a run for their money no matter what. And you know, they proved that, especially with this second film, and I think they did an amazing job. The voice acting was great. The characterization of a lot of the characters was really well, and everything like that. And they kind of leave it for interpretation at the end there, but that's really unfortunate because when we get to the third film, it does kind of change a little bit in a sense. But overall, this was a pretty good movie. You know, I don't think it had the same heart as the first one, but it still had the entertaining stuff that, you know, that you would kind of get from a movie like this, and things like that. It's not a bad movie by any means, but it is something entertaining. It is something that you can watch with the kids and everything like that. So if you have not seen Kung Fu Panda 2, I think Kung Fu Panda 1 and 2 are both on Peacock. I believe 3 is on Netflix, and we'll talk about 3 in the next episode. And then as we're getting ready to go see Kung Fu Panda 4, which I'm already hearing some pretty good things about, so you know, be on the lookout for that. And with that said, that's going to go ahead and do it for today's episode. If you like the episode, be sure to follow the podcast on all podcast outlets, whether it's Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Pandora, Google Play, Odyssey, Reddit, wherever you're getting your podcast from. Be sure to follow the podcast on all social media outlets, Instagram and X, the Madhouse21. Let me know what you guys thought about Kung Fu Panda 2. Where do you rank it as far as the whole trilogy is concerned? Where do you rank the Kung Fu Panda series as far as DreamWorks films goes? Whatever the case may be, let me know. Instagram and X, the Madhouse21. Be on the lookout for more episodes as they come out. Like I said, we got two more videos in the Kung Fu Panda series, or two more episodes in the Kung Fu Panda series. And so be on the lookout for that. We got a bunch of stuff coming out this coming week. As far as new movies and new material that has been dropping, whether it's in the theater and whether it's in the on streaming services. So be on the lookout for anything and everything that comes out of this podcast. And of course, as always, be sure to embrace your inner madness.